This is Lead 12:12, a podcast on Christ-centered leadership based on Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Thanks for listening. Here's Dave and Chris.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Lead 12:12. We're excited today. We've got a new guest that we're excited to talk to today. Chris, tell us all about our guest.
I am very excited to introduce this guest. You may remember her from the TV series like Beverly Hills 90210, the Wayans Brothers, or maybe you saw her on the Easter Experience. If you live in Kentucky, you definitely remember her from The Local Traveler. Friends, it's my pleasure to introduce a very talented Miss Amy Hess. Hey, Amy, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I feel totally honored to be here.
We're glad to have you. Thanks Absolutely. For joining us.
So I've got a question I want to start right off with. Can you tell me what it was like to play Mary Magdalene in the Easter Experience?
Oh, goodness. That was such a gift, honestly. I felt, although I couldn't relate to all of her story personally, it just really helped kind of flesh out more of the Bible in a way that I just felt so connected to. I mean, there's just reading about Jesus on the cross and being whipped and then being there and feeling those things and seeing those things and living through that was such a gift for my own personal walk and just my own connection to Jesus. And so it just felt so much fuller to me to have experienced that. So it was such a blessing. Amen. And I feel so honored that they even, as being very pigment challenged, I felt very honored that they would even cast me as that. And so being able to just totally transform into someone else and was just such a gift too. You know, that was something that happened outside of Hollywood and it wouldn't have happened there. So it was definitely, I felt very, it was just a blessing.
Wow. So how do you prepare for something like that?
Well, a lot of prayer and, just really, I think, immersing yourself in it so that you really try to understand what that must feel like. And I think that's the thing that connects all of us is this humanness, right? The human condition. So it's just trying to really put yourself in someone else's shoes to say, what would that feel like? Let me feel those feelings and, let me try to connect in a way that will be the kind of the vessel for other people experience those feelings and feel those things.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Hey, Amy, I'm Dave. Tell us a little bit about your salvation story.
So I grew up in a Christian home, but it wasn't really until I went to California at 18 that I experienced kind of what Oswald Chambers calls a white funeral. This is this idea that, you're essentially like you're dying to yourself. It's the death of your old life. And so, I lived in the Bible Belt, I went to church, but my faith was super compartmentalized. It was kind of like, well, I do this on Sunday and then I'll walk away and I don't really think about it. And so when you live in LA, you really have to be on fire. At least for me, I felt like it was really hard to kind of sleepwalk through that. So, I think being on fire, it made me really want to kind of permeate every part of my body. Like let's get all the nooks and crannies in there and get Christ to be kind of intermingled in all of that.
Amen.
So that it's not just one part of my life. It's the fullness of who I am. So I didn't have like a road to Damascus conversion where it was like, I'm a completely different person, but there was a point that I can look back to and say, this is really when this happened. This was when the rubber hits the road. And I was like, I've got to figure out what I'm doing because I'm out here by myself. I'm 18. I don't know anybody. And it's a scary place. And really the catalyst was anxiety. I think that's what God used for me so that I could get to the end of myself because I needed to reach out for God, but I wasn't going to do that till I got to the end of all my own resources.
Wow.
That's a beautiful way. Sometimes God can use anxiety. That's wonderful. So, Amy, what are you passionate about?
The first thing that comes to mind is authenticity. I feel like wanting that kind of authentic relationship, just like the human condition of authenticity, I guess, kind of the way those intersect. I see that common thread just kind of through my career, being attracted to acting, of course, wanting to be authentic in how I'm relating these people and their stories. But then as a producer too, just wanting to make sure that I am connecting the audience with people that I'm talking to and kind of make sure that they have this authenticity that's shown. So I really like telling stories in a way that just connect people. And really what I'm doing now with the boot camp is connecting with women and trying to make sure that I'm understanding where they're coming from and that I'm real about expectations for health and kind of how they can be in better health. So, and letting them know that it's not about perfection. That's an illusion. This is a work in progress. And I think that relates back to our walk with Jesus. No one's going to have this down perfectly. This is, we're all kind of just working, making progress.
Tell us more about your boot camp.
So it's an online boot camp, and we work with ladies to just try to help them have better health, just with better nutritious eating and exercise. We're more encouraging of kind of where they are and not like you need to be here or look this way, but more, how do you feel? You want more energy. You want to have better health. Here are some ways that you can do that. And today was a train wreck of a day. That's going to happen. It went off the rails. Here's how you can get back on track. And here's how you can give yourself grace, you know, because you deserve to give yourself some grace. You're not going to be perfect.
Amen.
And I actually find it's such an amazing ministry for me to pray with ladies.
Wonderful.
And to pray for ladies. Some of them are in a place where they feel like they're at the end of their rope. And I know what that feels like.
Wow. So how could someone sign up for that if they wanted to?
That is trimbootcamp.com. So they can just go online and take a look at that.
Very good.
Awesome. Hey, quick sidebar. Have you watched The Chosen? Have you been able to see that yet?
Yes. And it's so wonderful. I've really loved it. At first, it kind of bothered me, I will be honest, because I just thought this is not, you know, from... when I, you know, we talk about authenticity, I was like, they weren't talking like this. No one was using these kind of phrases, you know? And so at first it irritated me. I was like, this isn't historically accurate, you know? But then my husband said, you have to think of it like The Message. And as soon as he said that, I went, yep, you're right. This is The Message. And that's awesome. And this makes it more relatable for people,
Good point. It
something that they can kind of understand and kind of just levels the playing field a little bit so that the real message and heart and intent gets communicated. And then I loved it.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that. Eugene Peterson, I love The Message, but there are some moments that you have to make sure that it matches up and looks, you know, like it's supposed to look like. And it usually always does for me. It just takes me a minute to figure it out. I'm a little bit slower. So I thought The Chosen was good. My favorite one was The Woman at the Well. That's always my favorite story. And the way they did that, I thought was pretty interesting. So
what is God calling you to stop?
So for me, it's self-reliance.
Oh,
and so
interesting.
That's probably why God used anxiety and I had to get to the end of myself, right? That's because it's a sore spot for me. You know, I like to research. I like to problem solve. I like to get in there and kind of fix it myself. And so my first instinct is I can solve my own problems. I'm going to get in there and figure it out.
Sure.
I'm going to consume information and I'm, you know, very analytical. So it's like, I want to get in there and do it all. And it's, you know, I have access to the ultimate problem solver 24/7.
Yes.
And yet my first instinct is to rely on me. It's
me too.
I'm going to Google it instead of go to the Bible, which is basically the God-based Google, right?
Well put. Yes.
So I have a 19-year-old and she struggles with anxiety too. And so like these teenagers that are going through all the social stuff that I didn't grow up with, how would you talk to them to a 19-year-old or 20-year-old you?
Well, first of all, that perfection is an illusion. That's
Amen.
Not real.
Amen.
You shouldn't even aim for that. We're really trying to aim for connecting with God, living for Him and loving others and telling others about Jesus and just, you know, it's progress. It's just trying that. It's that trajectory. It's not like you've achieved this and you need to be perfect. And actually that it's, and this took a while. It took me to be at the age that I am now to understand that actually weakness is more attractive and being real is more attractive and being authentic is more attractive to people because people can't relate to you if you're perfect.
Right.
I mean, no, it's not real, but even if it was, that's not attractive to people.
No.
People don't want to follow Jesus because you're perfect. People will want to follow Jesus because you're struggling, because you're imperfect, because you know where to go to be made whole, right?
Absolutely.
So I would definitely say, you know, don't aim for perfection. And then don't compare your behind the scenes reel to everyone else's highlight reel.
Wow.
You know, social media is all, it's all the highlight reel. It's like your sizzle reel, right? You're putting all your best stuff out there, but then you're looking at all of that, but you know, your behind the scenes stuff, all the times you flubbed the line or that you messed up or that you weren't hitting your mark or or that just real stuff happened that was really hard and terrible, and you're comparing that with their best highlights. I mean, it's not really fair.
That's so true, and that happens all the time, too. So, okay, I'm going to ask you the opposite of what I just asked you. Amy, what is God calling you to start?
Okay, so I feel like in the same vein where I'm quick to just jump in and be the driver of the vehicle, I feel like what I need to start doing more is praying first. So, and the reason why is because wanting to learn things and learning and reading and all that stuff is great, right? I think, you know, amassing the knowledge and consuming all that's awesome. But where is it growing from? Is it growing out of a self-reliance, or is it growing out of something God-centered? And so I feel like praying first would help to make sure that my posture's in the right position so that it would set the tone for being God-centered. And it would take the emphasis off me being the one that's in power to solve my problem.
I love that. That is wonderful advice. Wow.
So, in kind of going along with that, how do you guard yourself against sin, against falling, against, I think you've kind of named it throughout all everything we've already talked about, but what are some things that you use to kind of help you get through it?
Well, you know, being a student of God's word is a good one. I'm in Bible study fellowship and I love it. And I feel like we have this instruction manual, I mean, for life, right? Amen. So we use it. And so that's a great one. Then I think the other one would be accountability. Having relationships that are ongoing with people who are honest and have God-honoring relationships, they can speak into your life and see things that you can't always see. And so making sure that you have those people helps. And I think for my part, it has to be, I can't be above reproach, right? I have to be willing to know that I'm going to mess up. And, you know, we're all sinners. We all fall short. So you can't be so enamored with yourself to think that you're above sin, because that's exactly where the enemy wants us. As soon as we think that it's not going to happen to us, that's when it will strike, because pride cometh before the fall. So amen. I think you have to be able to be spoken to too.
Absolutely.
Amen. You know, from time to time, we all have to have difficult conversations, and that can really be trying. What do you do to make sure that a difficult conversation stays productive?
So for this, I think I have to really, I have to start by differentiating from where I am and where God is in the situation. And what I mean by that is, am I coming from a place of God's love, or am I operating out of my own kind of shallow pool of humanness, right? Because that's there, and that's going to get in the way and compete for coming from a God-centered place. And so I've heard it said before that you'll never look into the eyes of someone that God doesn't love.
Amen.
And I think that's a great mindset and starting point for anything, because there's no way to have a productive conversation, to have a God-honoring conversation, I mean, particularly a difficult one or like a confrontational one, without having that be the first step. So it's just that remembering and just kind of reminding yourself that that person you're talking to is made in the image of God, and he loves that person just as much as he loves you. I think if you can start there, then that's a great, great starting point.
Absolutely. Amen.
That's beautiful.
Is there a character in the Bible that you relate to more than others, maybe, or someone that you kind of go to every once in a while?
You know, Rahab comes to mind a lot, just, and the reason I like her is not necessarily because I relate to her or Mary Magdalene, but those two come to mind the most. But because I feel like now more than ever, you know, this last season with all the stuff going on, I felt very alone. I just felt like I was going against the grain all the time. I mean, I felt like I was never going in the same direction as anyone else. It was just like, no matter what community I was in or whatever, it was like, oh, I see things different. I feel like maybe we've lost sight of what's important and what we're doing and how to come from this place of love. And so it was kind of a lonely season, really. And so this idea of, and really The Chosen kind of talks about this idea of doing it differently, seeing things differently, being different. And when I think about, you know, the Bible and back in those days, the Pharisees and all of that, and it was different. Jesus is different. The way he does it is different. We're never going to understand how he's going to do it. And we can't begin to think that we know how he's going to intercede or how he's going to act. And so I feel like Rahab was a totally unique and different choice for how to get in there and kind of save the day. And so we would have thought that it would be someone that was in this high, powerful position, or that they would be the most holy of holies. And yet God got in there all the time and used these people who you would never have thought would be the ones that could be used and would be used. And so, I don't know, I like that idea that it's different than you think.
That's amazing. I do too. God always surprises me with those things and who he uses, even when he uses me. So Amen. There you go.
Amen.
Tell me about tell me about some of the trophies behind you there.
Oh gosh. There are some Emmys, a couple tellies, and there's some awards from when I worked at KT. So those were television based awards.
You really like talking about yourself, don't you?
No, she doesn't. It's easy to see.
I was like, oh, no.
I totally get it. I'm sorry about that. I was like, I better take that one back. I'm sorry. But it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Any chance we'll see more Local Traveler anytime soon?
I don't know. You know, there was a time there where I felt like I started to kind of realize I wanted to pivot a little bit. I mean, the whole purpose of wanting to do the Local Traveler was I felt like these mom and pop shops were not getting enough marketing because they just didn't have the money to do it. And it was hard to compete with Walmart and McDonald's, nothing against those places. Love those places too.
Right.
But there's, you know, you want the mom and pop places to survive as well. And
Absolutely. So
what really was the catalyst for that was just wanting to make sure that those people had a voice and that we could invest in people in our own community and really help keep those businesses afloat. So that was great. And that went on for several seasons. And then I thought, you know, I really feel like we don't concentrate enough on the good stuff out there. And so then I thought, I want to do this show called Common Good. Oh, and so I started to really kind of work towards that before I decided just to take a break altogether. But if I were to come back, I'd want to do something about that. Just the stories of again, people and being the kind of human condition and where we're all connecting and where there's goodness out there, it's just not amplified as much.
So
and the light just isn't shined on it. And so we hear about all the negative and all the bad stuff that's going on, but there's so much more good than we realize.
Gosh, Amen. So true. So I've got another question for you. What are the most important nuts and bolts life lesson you can give me?
Wow, that's a big question.
It is.
And I'm not sure that I have like...
You got 5 minutes. Let's go.
But the thing that comes to mind that's at least recent, right? Something recent that I feel like has been a good lesson is just this idea that we need to stay humble, you know, for as much as we do know, both on an individual level and just as a group, right? And even as a group, as Christians, there's so much more that we don't know. And so we kind of have to approach things from that posture. I feel like we have the source for divine inspiration and all knowledge. And so we don't need to feel hopeless about it. But I think we need to know that we don't know it and we need to remain humble and we need to admit that we don't know.
So true.
Because humility means that you're not impressed so much with yourself and you're relying on another power. It's not your own power. And so, you know, you're more likely to turn to God when you really understand kind of how small you are in the grand scheme of things. Plus, you know, that whole knowledge thing that really didn't work out so well for Adam and Eve. So I figure, you know.
And there you go.
It's a good point.
Truth. So is there anything you just want to share with us leadership wise or maybe advice about being a mom or family? Anything you just want to jump in and tell us some good insight on?
At first, when when I was thinking about Christian leadership, I was really hesitant. As you know, I was like, I don't know if I'm really the right person to do this. So, but as I sat with it longer, you know, I realized that we're all little Christ, right? That's Christian. So we're these little Christ. And so we're all really called to lead. We're all called to lead others to Christ. I mean, that is that's the main commission, right? So when I thought about that and I thought that, okay, and we're all part of the body, we all have different roles and different ways that we're going to do that. But collectively and individually, we need to be calling others to Christ. We need to be leading others to Christ.
Amen.
And it's going to look different than the way that the world would think of leadership, right? You're thinking Jesus, servant leader. I mean, this is totally like the upside down thing. And so when I thought about it like that, I felt more comfortable. And I think that's why this podcast is so valuable for your listeners too, is that because we're all called to lead, learning how to do that effectively and learning how to do that from a place of love is so important.
Amen.
100%.
Amen. So I know your time's important. I've got one last question for you, Amy. What's your biggest praise for God?
My biggest praise for God would be that he turns everything, all the mishaps, all the mistakes, all the things that you would think were bad or negative into good for his purpose.
Amen.
And so I just think that's really amazing when you think about it. It's kind of this this amazingly freeing feeling to know that nothing is lost, nothing is hopeless. You know, when you're a believer, you're walking in His will. Amen. He's going to turn all your mourning into dancing. You know, He's going to finish the good work that He started in you. It's always going to be a win because He can bestow a crown of beauty from ashes, right? So, So there's nothing that's lost there. I just love that every drop, everything that you're going through, He can turn that into something amazing. And so, I don't know, that's just, to me, that just blows my mind.
Oh, it does. Yeah. It's Amen. So beautiful. So beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thanks again for talking with me. It was really fun.
Oh, thanks for letting us. And thanks for just taking a few minutes out of your day. We sure do appreciate it.
Yes.
Thank you.
This is an LBS production, which stands for pounds. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it also stands for laughing because we're saved. But we kind of like the pounds. So Chris will lift them and I will gain them, and we will have a great time. Thanks for listening.